Good morning, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Let's Do It Afraid podcast. How are you doing, Yvette?
Good morning. I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I had a really good weekend. I just love spending time with my family. I was thinking how much I hate sending my kids to school.
Really?
I do, and I don't know if I'm the only parent that feels this, but I genuinely wish that I could have my kids with me all the time.
I mean, you can if you homeschool them, but for me, it's a lot of work. So,
I know.
yeah. Like COVID, they had no other choice than to homeschool kind of because they only were on the computer for like an hour. But it was rough, girl. Maybe it was because I just had my other baby while that happened, and it was great running a household with three kiddos and trying to get one to work while the other one was trying to play and run around the house. And it was like, how do you make this work? Because it was wild.
Yeah, you're right. Like, I don't know if I could be their teacher. I didn't really enjoy COVID either, having to homeschool them in a way. But I just, there's just such a comfort when they're home with me. And I don't know, I just love spending time with them. I want to be with them all the time, but I don't necessarily want to teach them. I don't know if that makes sense.
Yes, but do you think the comfort comes from like they're home and they're safe with me, or do you think the comfort comes of like you just want to spend time with them and bond? Like, what is it, a mix of it, or like,
I think it's a mix of both. Yeah.
okay.
I think it's more for selfish reasons. Like you said, I want it, like, they're safe, they're here, they're with me. But at the same time, I love bonding with them. I love creating memories with them, having fun with them. I mean, even like silly things where we would, in the summertime, if it was really hot outside, we would set up like a big blanket in our living room and have like a picnic and watch movies.
How
They didn't have to
cool.
stress out about, I don't know, you know, the routine of, okay, they got to go to bed at this time, and then they got to get up at this time, and then we got to do homework. All that kind of stresses me out.
Yeah, I think it's the flexibility too, because like you work from home, so you're able to spend that time with them and then work whenever they're busy doing whatever. But for me, I don't know, it's hard. It's really hard. Like, I get the safety aspect because I know I shared with you before my oldest did get bullied at school, and there was times where I was like, well, why am I even bringing him to school if you're not providing the safety? Like, I go home and I'm still worried, like, what is that kid gonna bug my kid? And I don't know if this is a good thing or a bad thing, but my kid doesn't know how to distinguish when someone's being mean to him, so he just like carries on. And
Yeah.
recently he got evaluated to see if he could get like a one-on-one, and he didn't qualify like for the whole day because they say he's social. And I'm like, yeah, he's social, and there's no problems there because he doesn't know when someone is being mean, so he's not sticking up for himself. And it obviously looks normal to you because you're not within the range of, you know what I mean? They're like keeping an eye
Yeah.
from a distance. And obviously, when there's someone watching extra, the kids are going to be on their best behavior, so there's nothing going to go wrong. You know what I mean? Like, I'm
Yeah.
not dumb. I was in
Yeah.
school. I know what this is like. Like, come on, I'm not, I know my kid, and I know what he needs, and I know what he's done before. I know his capacity. I know it's just, I went through hell and back with this kid, and I know, like, you can't fool me, and you can tell me that he does his best. Yeah, I understand that he's in fifth grade. He's going to need independence. Yes, but right now, give him the flooring foundations that he needs to get all the resources up to speed as much as he can. And then from there, yeah, if I don't see him progress within middle school or whatever, then okay. But I'm never going to give up on my kid. I know he's very capable. Like, outside of school, he sits there and works on cars with my cousin. Like, you know who my grandpa is?
Yeah.
Had my grandpa fixing my car,
Oh.
and my kid was out there watching him the whole day. And
No.
there was something wrong with my car. My grandpa came to fix it, and my son put oil in the radiator where it's only supposed to be water. And my grandpa
Oh, no.
was gonna do an oil change. And then I come back. I went to pick up my other kid, and I come back, and then he's like, "Este hijo de su mamá." I'm like, "¿Qué pasó?" He's like, "Le echó aceite al radiador." I'm like, "Fuck! Like, what am I gonna do?" Oh, And he's like, "I know, me enojé en el momento." He's like, "Pero él quiso ayudarme y me dijo, abuelo, ya te ayudé, ya acabé." And I was like,
So
"This kid, like,
sweet.
whatever his passion and his drive is, he'll know the brands of the cars, what pieces go where. Like, It's really impressive to me. And when you come and tell me that he doesn't have the capacity to learn things, like he just doesn't have the interest. It's like with me with reading, I can't sit there and read a damn book because I'll fall asleep. Sorry, I went on a whole tangent, but it just irks my nerve. If he's going to be bullied in school, I don't know what's better for him to stay home and me get in trouble. Or at the same time, he does have energy. He does need to socialize. He does need that kind of rhythm, which is why he's still in school. But a lot of people tell me, like, why don't you homeschool him? I'm like, he has learning disabilities, so I don't have knowledge to teach him the way he knows how to learn. Like just math lessons, I love math, so I'll sit there and do it. But like when it comes to reading or like having him understand, like I have to reread things over and over and over. And I feel like if there's a specialist that knows how to teach kids the way that they need to be taught, then I mean, why am I going to sit here and stress out over this when I'd rather just have bonding time with him? And then I'm mom, so like, you know, he's going to fight me with everything and anything he doesn't want to do. So I'm like, yeah, it's just not going to work out.
I think you're right. I don't want to homeschool my kids either because I do think that they need the social aspect. And there's a lot of positive things about going to school with people that are different from you and learning from a professional teacher, you know, not just me. But same, I do sometimes. Not so much with my daughter because she's older. Obviously, she has 2 years of high school left. Well, she's a junior, so really just like a year and a half. But with my son, since he's in third grade, I'm like, should I? But then, like, I don't know, like you said, it's not, it's, I think it's just more for like selfish reasons. Like, I just want them home with me because I want to spend time with them. And because I have the flexibility and I work from home, but not everyone does that. Not everyone has that flexibility. And also, like you said, it's a comfort thing because we want to keep them safe. I think I saw, you know, that there's a really famous quote where it says, like, to have a child is to have your heart go walking around outside your body for the rest of your life.
It's home, girl. It's so true. And it's like we want to be the helicopter. Like we want to make sure nothing happens to them, but then it's like no, they have to experiment the world. So like for me when they were little, you know, it's like cuánto los puedes cuidar, and it's like the first one lo tapaba and everything. And then the second one came and it's like, does he need to check it? Does he not? It's okay. We'll just keep it in the car. Like he doesn't have to have it on. And I was like, that's how it was with me too. Like you conscientes al primero or you overprotect. And then by the time you have the second one, it's like they need to get dirty. They need to get all their immune system up to speed. And it's crazy. Now that I see people around me have kids and it's like they're doing what we thought was best that was a first time parent. And I mean, there's no manual, so.
Yeah, there really is no manual. My daughter will tell me, "Mom, you're so different. You're such a different mom with me than you are with my younger brother." And I'm like, "Well, of course I was, because with you, I was 21, you know, and I was a different person at 21. And with my son, I was 29 when I had him. So I'm a totally different person by then as well. You know, we're supposed to evolve. We're not supposed to stay the same." So yeah, you do sometimes become a little bit more lenient. You learn what worked, what didn't work, what you liked, what you didn't like. There are certain things I did with my daughter that I didn't necessarily like afterwards, so I had to change things with my son. So I think that's totally normal.
Yeah, I think it's all part of the process and we're evolving. We're not the same, like you're saying. So it's all part of the journey. And it's hard to say. With my third, I was like, I really want to keep her home and, you know, disfrutarla because maybe what if this is my last kid? And I was set, I'm done with three and whatever. And then now I see her grow and I'm like, I have no babies in my house anymore. Like, what the heck happened, you know?
What is your biggest fear, or what was your biggest fear when you first became a parent?
I don't know. I think I was 21, so same thing. He was in my belly. I turned 21, and I wanted to party, but I couldn't. And so then I just became a
Same.
mom. And thankfully, I still had the support system of my parents. I was going to school, so it was hard, but I pulled through. I finished what I needed to do education-wise, and my husband helped me a lot. My mom helped me a lot, and I was able to finish school. I feel like a lot of my time off of school, I was like in therapy, was with my kids. My schedule was booked. And thankfully, he's doing better. When he turned three, he went to school. I didn't have an option. So I was like, ah, I was lo quiero tener conmigo, you know? So like, I enjoy him a little bit more, but it worked out. And he liked school. They did a therapy school, so then it helped me there. And with my second, I was working at a CPA firm. So I was working like 12-hour days sometimes. And I was so sad because he was growing so fast and I would barely see him. Las horas que lo ve, I come home and he's sleeping. And I'm like, this is not it for me. But for me, it was. enjoying their time when they're little, because those are the memories that are going to stick with them when they grow. And it's like, if somebody else is raising my kid, then I don't know if this is the best thing that I could be doing for my kids. Because as a kid, when my mom worked all the time and I barely saw her, that like really shaped who I was, but it also made me think like I want to be able to be there for my kids, work, but also be there for my kids.
I think for me, the scariest thing when I first became a parent was just realizing the weight of it all in the sense of like, oh my gosh, I have to raise a human being. And I think that was the first time that I felt like this huge responsibility on my shoulders because I was, I don't want to just be like, oh, pues I'll just raise them y a ver qué pasa. I really wanted to be intentional. So I started, reading a lot of books and watching a lot of TV around parenting. And there wasn't podcasts in those days, or else I would have listened to parenting podcasts. And just trying to figure out, because I think my biggest fear was screwing them up. And I would always tell my therapist too, when I started therapy, I'm like, I don't want my kids to be like me. I don't want my kids to be like me. And I'm like, I don't want to mess them up. I don't want to traumatize them. But then at the end of the day, I realized, well, I'm human, so I'm gonna mess up. There's no manual. But as long as I try my best and I do everything I can in my power to prepare myself, then at least I'll know that I did my best at the end of the day. And I think that as a parent, that's all we really can do because we can't control everything. And we're just human, so we're gonna screw things up.
Yeah, I was always like a kid person. Since I was little, I can remember like holding the smallest little kid and like apenas podía caminar yo y ya tenía chiquillo acá, you know? But then becoming a parent was totally different. And for me, it never really hit. Like, I didn't really think about it. Yeah, I was a teen mom. It was like baby MD, something like that. Like I would read up on how the baby was growing or how it was supposed to be doing, like milestones. But I never really looked at like the future of how I wanted to shape him, because I think I was just so stuck on knowing that my kid needed more help, so I was just trying to do my best. Like I didn't really have like expectations of what they're gonna be when they grow up. I just wanted to get him all the resources he needed, because he did have problems since he was like in my stomach. So I think I just was like trying to keep him alive and trying to make it work. And thank God I had my mom, because I would always get worried like, oh, am I doing this right? And mom's like, you know, everybody learns as they go. Like you don't have to do it how X person is doing it. Lo que te sirve a ti, a lo mejor no le sirve a él. You know, it's trial and error. And then my kid was super sensitive with his skin, with diapers, with leche, and everything. So I was like, it was so hard. And then breastfeeding, I don't know if you breastfed or not, but he had his tongue tied, so he never latched on properly, and that was a whole ordeal. I felt like I was not, I don't know how to explain it. A lot of people don't talk about it, but like for me, it was like I failed as a mom because I wasn't able to breastfeed. And for some people, you can breastfeed. For some people, you do formula right off the start. And I learned that the hard way. You're not less of a woman if you didn't breastfeed over breastfeeding, because sometimes it just doesn't work out. And I know how that struggle is. He wasn't able to latch on, so what I did was pump, 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 because I knew that my milk was going to be more helpful for him on the long run because of all of his stuff that he had going on. So I think that I took it upon myself even more. And then I was like, I'm a failure because I wasn't able to breastfeed from the start, and my kid would have been maybe even better or more functionable. I don't know how you say it, but more developed if I would have breastfed. But I mean, I did do enough like pumping for like 6 months, so he did get something as opposed to nothing. And then I did do like mixed feeding, so it just worked out. Kid was fed at the end of the day, which is how I look at it now. But in those days, I was so, oh, I should be feeding my kid, and you know, it just doesn't always work out.
I didn't breastfeed either of my children at all. Milk never came out, and I mean, literally nothing came out with either of my kids. My mom would joke and say that they were just for decoration purposes. My breasts.
Oh, your mom.
like, no más se sirve de adorno. And I'm like, well, I don't know, that nothing comes out, mom. Both of my kids were formula fed, and I did feel guilty, but at the same time, as long as they were fed, that's really all that mattered to me. And both of my kids are so different, and their capabilities are so different. I mean, yes, there are a lot of benefits to breastfeeding, but I don't think you should feel guilty like, oh, I didn't breastfeed him. I must have done something wrong, because I don't think that has anything to do with his situation. My son has some sort of developmental things as well, but my daughter doesn't. at all, and neither of them were breastfed. They were both formula fed.
Sometimes it's like, oh, well, the research says this, and I'm like, I don't know. My kid got fed, and that's all that I care about right now, because at the end of the day, all I was doing was harming myself, and my kid was fed. He got his needs met, and that's all that should have mattered, you know? But in those moments, it could trigger people, like postpartum depression or the anxiety of, is my baby getting fed enough? Am I supposed to be producing more? Like, how do I get myself to produce? Because I did anything in the world to keep my production going. Like, I did like the cookies, I did so many different things, and some worked,
The
others didn't.
tea.
Everything, girl, everything you can think of. And then boom, it
Same,
was like,
same.
lo único que ocupas es que te digan que te pongas caca en la cabeza y te digan que lo hagas.
Yeah.
I'm like,
Oh
I'm
my
gonna do whatever it takes, okay? And then my second came, and he latched on from the beginning, and I didn't need like the whole nine that I needed with my first. And my third came, and she was like hit or miss. She didn't really care for it as much as my second one. And I mean, it's all a journey. And I always tell everybody, because they're like, how'd you do it? I'm like, every kid is different. Like, I can't tell you all my kids did A, B, and C, because they didn't. Like, I was all over the place. Y ahorita ya no sé ni cuál fue el que hizo qué, because it's just been so long.
One of my biggest, I don't know if it's a fear necessarily, but something that I worry about with my son is I feel like I don't know how to raise a man. And my husband works a lot. I mean, he's a great dad, but he's not around much. And with my daughter, I never really had that insecurity because I was like, well, I'm a girl. There's things that I could talk about that helped me and things like that to help her, grow up and be a productive young lady. But with my son, I've always felt like I need to do more or I'm not doing enough because I feel such a necessity to be like, I want to raise a good man. I want to raise a good father, a good husband, a good boyfriend. I'm always like reading all these books and listening to podcasts and doing things like that because I don't want to, I don't know, like I just worry about him not being a good man. Does that make sense? Do you ever worry about that? Because I know you have two boys.
I have two boys, and let me tell you, they're very different. I've raised them the same. I've done my best. I have family members that have had special needs before, and I've seen how that kid has gotten like special treatment or like passes. Or in my household, I'm sorry, but that's not gonna pass. Now that I've seen a couple of them get older, they control the household and they don't listen to the parents anymore. Now the parents are old, and it's like, how do I get my kid to listen in my household? But now he's an adult, so now if he goes to therapy, the therapist is going to tell him, well, he's an adult, he gets to do whatever he wants. And it's like, no, he's living in my house and he needs to listen to me. It's very hard. And so for me, it's, I've always told my husband, like, it doesn't matter what their needs are. Like, they all should have rules, they all should have expectations. Yes, one may or may not do it. And I always tell my middle, always complains, he's like, well, he doesn't pick up his stuff and he doesn't. I'm like, remember, we're not all the same, and sometimes we need more help. So if you have the freedom or you have that opportunity to help, it doesn't hurt you to help him, you know? And he's like, yeah, but it's not fair. Like, he doesn't clean up after himself. And remember, he doesn't have the same mentality that you have. And then he's like, oh yeah, I'm sorry. And I feel like I try my best with all of them. Si los regaño igual, they get disciplined the same. Like, they all get things taken away when they don't listen. It's hard for me sometimes, though, because like Fridays are the days they go spend the night at my mom's. That's their weekend getaway. And I mean, we're always together because we end up going everywhere anyways, but they always sleep over at my mom's. That's their weekend that they
That's
look
really
forward to.
sweet.
And so I tell them, you know, if you don't do your chores during the week, I've been very lenient lately, because I've just been all over the place with a million things to do. But I tell them, if you don't listen to me during the week, you're gonna get three tries. If you get me by three tries, you're not going to grandma's. And I can never, nunca cumplo mi palabra. And I'm like, I need to be better at this. But they know. So now what I'm starting to do is like, if you don't behave, you give me money from your piggy bank and it's not going back. Okay? Like, something to make it work, because they need to listen. My kid actually just got an award on Friday. I think it was Friday. And I was like, I've never seen this. And you know, my oldest, it has disabilities. So I'm like, maybe that's why I didn't get him. I don't know. But he got an award, and my husband picked him up. So I'm like, ¿y qué te dijeron? He's like, nada, me lo dio él. I'm like, so what does this mean? So I messaged the teacher, and she's like, oh yeah, he got awarded in front of the whole school, and it's only one kid. I don't think she's in a month. And I was like, oh wow. And it says, like, he's one of the most polite kids in the school. He says please and thank you. He's very courteous. He's very respectful. He's always willing to try his best. Like, he really stands out. And I was like, what did they tell you? And he's like, They told me they're so happy to have me in their community. I was like, that's so cute. And he's
That's
like,
really sweet.
yeah, I was like, that is awesome. But I don't teach them any different. And my husband goes,
Yeah.
like you say, like my husband works and he's not always here to help them. Like, yeah, he takes them to sports when he can and things like that. But I see your worry. But at the same time, they see you as their example of having a wife. So as long as you do your whatever you do and however you want him to have that comfort in his home, he'll probably like pick up, you know. And because I don't tell my kid, like, open the door for me, go do this. And he does that for everyone. And I was at a meeting at school, and the daughter of the girl that works there had to go to the bathroom, and she's like 15. And then he also had to go to the bathroom, so they went together. And they come back, and then the lady's like, oh my God, tu hijo sorprendió a mi hija. Every door he walked through, he opened the door, he waited for her to pass through, and then he closed it. And then he went to the other bathroom, and then same thing, he waited for her to get out. And then she's like, does he do that? Did you teach him that? No, I didn't teach him that. I don't know where you got it from, but good.
Yeah. No, I do tell my son, I'm like, oh, but can you open the door for me, please? Or open the door for your sister. Or sometimes he'll randomly pick a flower and bring it to me. And I'll make a huge deal, like, oh my gosh, thank you so much. This made me so happy. It made my day. You know, girls, we love flowers. And especially when we weren't expecting it was a surprise. You know, he keeps doing it because he sees that I get so excited.
That is so awesome. My kid does the same thing.
Or I'll be like, hey, when you have a girlfriend, you know, and you go pick her up, I want you to get out and open the door. But I also teach my daughter, I'm like, if you go on a date, I want you to walk up to the car. If he does not open it, you do not get in. You wait right there on the curb until he gets out and opens the door. I want her to expect that. And I
Yeah.
also want my son to do that.
Yeah, I don't have the capacity to think that far up and ahead. Like, I'm just like, get me through the day and let's do this.
Yeah.
But
Like, I
that's
don't know if it's
awesome.
me being old fashioned, but I just want, I don't know, I like those old values are really, I find them really sweet and really endearing.
But it's like, you know how hard it is? I think that that's why I went to Mexico to find my husband, because there's like no values. The kids here all over the place, and I feel like they're very immature. I mean, in Mexico, I guess they have no other choice than to grow up because they don't have the opportunities that we have here. You know, we take everything for granted here, I feel. And my husband would always open the door for me. He'd like buy me roses out of nowhere. I knew the sacrifice it was for him to buy those things because he did only get paid like 700 pesos a week. And the sacrifices that they make to get you those things. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know. I mean, I know that it's a long way from now, hopefully, but I do think about, you know, the day that my son has a wife and I just want her to be taken care of and I want her to feel safe and be so loved by my son. You know, I want him to just be a really good dad, a really good husband. But you're right. I mean, the same way that I am with my daughter, if I just implement those same things that I expect from her to a kind, decent human being, and I do the same with my son, at the end of the day, he will also be a kind, decent human being.
Yeah, exactly. And it's funny because I don't tell my kid these things. He analyzes things. And my brother used to live with my mom. I think he barely moved out like a year ago. But he tells me, he's like, I'm not getting married. Don't even talk about girls to me. Like, I don't want to hear it. I'm not getting married. I'm living with you until I'm old. And I'm going to pay your bills. And I'm going to take care of you. And I'm like, who tells you these things, boy? Because I don't tell you. He's like, well, Angel did it. Angel does it all the time to grandma. So why do I have to go get married? Why do I have to have a girlfriend? And I'm like, whatever. And so my husband, like, messes with him sometimes. Cuando lo recoge, like, there's a little girl that always say bye. And he's like,
Oh
is
yeah.
that your girlfriend? And then he's like, don't talk to me like that. You know I'm not getting married.
Oh, that's so sweet. Well, hopefully he won't, but we don't.
Right? I'm just like, I was thinking of that, though, but it's hard. I want that bond with my kid forever, but then I'm like, they will grow up. Like, I want to have that understanding that life goes through phases and they're not going to be in my house forever. So, like, yes, I cherish the moments that they are here, but I also want to be prepared for when they do leave. I'm not attached to them. Like, yes, I will always be attached to my kids, but I don't want to have them feel the pressure of leaving my house because I feel like poop. You know what I mean? Because I feel that with my husband, like when he left and he was very attached to his mom, and I feel like his mom went downhill when he left. I feel like it's destiny or it's part of life. Like they're gonna grow up, they're gonna get out of your house, and it's gonna be just like the two of you at the end of the day. And that's what I tell my husband sometimes. I'm like, well, if all goes well and we're still together after whatever years and the kids are not here anymore, it's only going to be me and you. So whatever plans we have now, like we got to work hard and make whatever future we want, because at the end of the day it's going to be just you and I. The kids are going to
Yeah,
leave.
well,
You know what I mean?
they say que los hijos son prestados, right? So we only
Yeah.
get them for a little bit of time.
It's hard because I see it that way, but other people don't see it that way. And when you see people going through relationships and the suegra is like giving you the upside
Yeah.
down of heaven, and it's, can you guys just like get it together? You should be happy for your kid to have these opportunities. You know, like, they're
Yeah.
experimenting what it's like. I feel like it's very hard when people are very entremetidos, you know?
Well, I feel like some people have the mentality that our kids owe us something,
Yeah.
you know, that they belong to us. I've never felt that way. I think my kids are a gift. They're a gift, you know, and we get to keep them for a little bit, but eventually they have to grow up and move on. I pray every day that my kids and I, even after they leave my home, have a bond.
Yeah.
In the sense that, you know, they come and visit me, I go and visit them, you know, they call me at least a couple of times a week, fingers crossed, you know, at least I'd like to hear from them, or even if it's a text message, because of you know, because I love them and I want the best for them and I want to continue to have a relationship with them. But at the end of the day, my kids don't owe me anything. I chose to have them. I made that decision, and at one You know, they don't owe me anything at the end
And
of the
maybe
day.
that's the change in mindset too, because I feel like a lot of the times, like our Latin culture or people in Mexico, like they have
Yeah.
kids so that the kids can somehow raise them. I don't know how to explain it. Like, I see people having like 10, 15 kids. I'm like, how do you have time to give to each kid? And they're like, oh, es que nos van a ayudar a, you know, get out of pobreza, or, you know, like
Yeah.
have a better future. And I'm like, I get that, but I saw the struggle my parents went through. And my dad, like, his dad passed when my dad was 9, so my dad had to work since he was 9 years old, and they
Yeah.
only had my grandma, and my grandma was 29 and she had 6 kids to feed. All their struggles, I'm like, it's not easy. And you guys think like, oh, having a kid is gonna, the kid's gonna feed me, and it's
Yeah.
whatever expectations you have of the kids. And it's like, I don't understand, like they don't see the stress they put on the kids and the pressure. And I'm just like, our parents are fine, and you know, they made it through where they are now today. But I'm
Yeah.
just like, the pressure was real back then, you know?
Oh yeah, for sure. I heard this podcast about somebody that puts up like family values in their home. Like they have like a cuadro or something, you know, like a big piece of paper, poster kind of a thing, with like their family values of, you know, honesty, integrity, kindness, love, whatever that may be. And I thought that was really cool. I think I want to like implement that in my home as well.
Yeah.
Just to kind of like a daily reminder of what our family values are and what we want to put out into the world. I think what you were talking about also about the I think it's more of like the old school mentality of, you know, back in the day, people had to have a lot of kids to help them work on the farm and things like that. But obviously now we have most people have less children.
Yeah.
And I think that the mentality has changed as well. I mean, I hope it has because back then kids were also seen kind of as, you know, property. And
Yeah.
to me, that just doesn't fit the narrative anymore.
Maybe it's like, I don't know. I feel like because my husband did come from that kind of family, or because I brought him from Mexico, the societies are very different. The expectations are very different. Like, the way they grow up is very different. And thankfully, everything has been good till now. But I don't know what the expectations are when we're older. You know, maybe we change. Maybe we get those kind of like things in our heads that our parents. Because like, I see my grandma, she's 95, and like things she brings up sometimes, I'm like, grandma, that was like normal in the 50s or 60s. Like, that is not normal anymore. And I'm like, I hope I don't like rewind when I'm old, because that would not be good. You know?
Yeah. Another thing that I worry about a lot is for my children is like sexual abuse or anything like that really, really terrifies me. You know, like human trafficking, you hear all these things, kidnapping, of course. But I have listened to a lot of podcasts and read a lot of books that talk about that predators are less likely to target your child if you teach them to properly name their body parts.
Oh, wow.
So like for my son, you know, because for little boys, you they always find other names for
Words.
their private parts. And I'm always like, no, like this is what it's called. I want you to call it this. Because if one day, I mean, I don't tell him this, but I'm like, if one day he has to stand in a trial and he says, like, oh, that man touched my wee-wee, wee-wee isn't a real body part. You know, also the predator, they have found that predators are less likely to target your child if that child can properly name their body parts. Because to them, that's like, oh, their parents have taught them, you know, this is a private area. Nobody touches it but you, things like that. So they know not to go after those kids because those kids are not going to be easy targets.
I didn't know that, but I don't know. That's something that I've always had like a fear too, because like I don't trust it. Like I told you, I don't leave my kids with just anyone. Like it has to be someone that I don't know, like with my parents. And even then, like I still have to be calling them and like, oh, how are they doing? What are they doing? And are they behaving? And who are they with? And things like that. And I'm like, my parents already know. Like I'm much more comfortable when they're my parents because I'm like they live very close and I know who's there and like it's typical people that hang out at my house or come over and so it's not much of a difference, but still.
Good. Same. I don't, my kids know we don't do sleepovers.
No.
We don't do sleepovers. If your friends want to come stay at our house, that's great. They're always welcome. But you will not be going to any friend's house. It just does not happen. The same. I only trust them really with my parents, and that's about it. How do we allow them to continue to grow up? You know, like how do we find a balance between wanting to protect them, but allowing them to grow up and make mistakes, you know, experience freedom?
That's very debatable. I was raised by my brothers, and my parents, but my parents worked a lot. So my brother had to know who I was around and who lived in the household and whatever. Same thing, like how you're saying, like if somebody wanted to come to the house, great. But if I wanted to go, like it was like hard to go anywhere. And so once my brothers got out of the household and they like moved on, my parents were a little bit more lenient. And I'm thankful for that because I concentrated myself in like, doing good in school and singing and, you know, just keeping myself busy. But at the same time, my socialization was mostly in school. For my kids, they won't know what a sleepover is, like you're saying, because I don't allow it. The only sleepover is at my mom's, you know? That's the only place they get. But, like, friends can come over, and I have to know where they're at. Like, I have a lot of family, thankfully, so they get that social aspect. But I worry about when they get older, and I know your daughter's older, so my kids are still young.
With my daughter, I have had to learn that balance because she is 17 and, you know, she wants to go to football games and she wants to go to dances and she wants to go to the mall with her friends. I think it's easier for me than for my husband. letting go. With my son, you know, it's easier to keep him closer because he's 8. But with our daughter, we have had to let her, you know, go out on her own. For me, it's just a lot of prayer, you know, and my belief in God. And that could be many th other things for other people. But for me, it's my belief in God and just trusting that I did the best that I could do to talk to her about ways to keep herself safe. You know, things like, hey, whoever you leave, if you get to the dance, school dance, the friends you get there with are the same friends you leave with. You don't get into cars with strangers. I mean, she's only 17, so she's not, you know, drinking or anything like that. But I'm like, if, you know, when you're 21, if you go to a bar, you know, you watch the person make your drink, you hold on to your drink the entire time, you don't allow other people to buy you drinks, things like that. So I have to kind of trust myself that I did my best and I've tried to talk to her about ways to keep herself safe. And really having to trust that I did a good job.
Yeah, it's crazy how that still exists. Like all the drugs that can go into alcohol and things of that nature. Like I remember talking about that when I was little, like hearing my brother just talk about that. And yeah, it's something that will happen down the road for me. And like there's risks there. I don't know how I'm gonna deal with it, but I'll deal with it when it gets there. Do you feel social media brings in any more fears, or has your daughter ever had problems with social media?
I think it's fraught. Some insecurity. I mean, I think that that's normal for teenage girls too, because we didn't have social media, and I remember feeling very insecure by seeing other girls around me and constantly comparing myself to them. But now it's like on a much bigger scale because on social media. And then obviously, having to tell her a million times, don't accept, friend requests from strangers. Don't be messaging people if you don't know them, like face to face. I don't care if it's some guy in Texas who says he's 17 years old like you and he sends you all these pictures. If you have not seen this person in person, don't talk to them.
I met people in Texas and I don't know if it was them. Like, now that I see like all this catfish and stuff, I'm like, I don't know if it was them, but I talked to them for days and I'm like, oh my God, that was crazy. Like, I don't know, I would flip out if my kid ever did that. Because I don't know, we were so innocent, I guess, back then. Like, everything was new to us and we didn't really know. Like, we really trusted everything that was on the internet. And now looking at everything, it's like, who knows who we're really talking to? And thank God it didn't get anywhere. Like, it didn't go anywhere, you know?
Yeah, that you hear about, young people thinking they're talking to people their age, and sometimes they fall in love with these people, and they're like, oh, or we're gonna go, I'm gonna go pick you up or something, and then something horrible happens. So I'm like just trying to tell her, no. If you do not know these people face to face, you don't need to be talking to them. There's plenty of guys at your school you can talk to. We don't need to be talking to any guys in any other state.
Yeah, very, very true. How do you feel that parenting has changed you as a person?
Gosh. I don't know. I don't think, I don't know. I don't, I'm sure it has. It's made me grow up.
Yeah, right? That's what I was thinking too. I'm like, I think mostly like maturing and going through things, but because I did have a kid since I was 21, I feel like I didn't have like that whole party scene. I think I kind of did. I had it earlier because I did go to Mexico very frequently, so that's what's like my party scenes over there. But like here, you know, grow up, go to the bar, do this and do that. I'm like, I never really did that besides like when my brothers would have a birthday or something and they had an event, like going out with friends. Like I didn't have that, going out with friends era because I had kid and everybody else was partying. So it was very different.
I think my kids, and I say this all the time, my kids really saved me. Not in the sense that I was a party. I mean, I had my daughter at 21. I joke and say that on my 21st birthday, I was drinking water instead of alcohol because I was 7 months pregnant. I never partied. I never went to a club. I never got drunk. I never did drugs. So I never got any of the party thing in my life. But I always felt really alone. And I always felt like I wasn't enough, like I didn't belong. And when I had my daughter, I just felt like my life had meaning, it had purpose. And I finally felt so much love. I felt like, oh my God, this is home. This is where I belong. I belong with my children. If nothing more, this was my purpose, to come into this life and raise these two kids that I love more than anything in the world. So I really feel like my kids saved me in the sense that I don't know what would have been of my life if they hadn't come. I think I was very depressed and I was very sad. And I just felt really, really alone. And I honestly believed in my mind that nobody would ever love me.
That is
And
wild
so
how
when I
we can
had,
do that to ourselves. Like
yeah.
it's wild.
I just felt like I was never worthy. I was never enough. Nobody would ever love me. And so when I met my husband, and then we had our daughter, I just felt like this is love. Like somebody loves me. Somebody loves me so much that they gave me this gift,
Yeah, that is so awesome. I love that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I never really thought of it in that way because I did have a family and I did have like I had the support system, I guess you can say. And so for me, having a kid, I don't know, it just made, I feel like it kind of, I was thinking about this yesterday. Like, in high school, I did a lot of like volunteer work with the special needs kids because I had a cousin that was in the class. And then like I saw his struggles, so I really wanted to help them there. Where I had like a free period is when I went to go volunteer there. And I feel like that prepared me for what I'm dealing with now with my kid, all the IEP. Like, no, I've been inside the system on the other side, like as a helper. I know what these helpers do. I'm not saying all of them are the same, but there was multiple kids with helpers, so I know what the system looks like. I know what the teachers do. Like, I know, like you can't tell me I don't know. because supposedly that school was the best special ed class there was in the county or whatever. And they were not the best to the kids. Like, let me tell you. For me, it's like, no, I'm doing everything in my power to get my kid up to speed, no matter what it takes. And so it's just something that I feel like it gave me more purpose because I already had helped people prior to that, but it gave me all the tools that I needed to become a parent and then to fight for my kid, you know? And now he's, what, 11 now. So I just feel like it just really was part of the journey. I don't know. I was like thinking about it yesterday. I'm like, oh, I didn't really think about it that way.
How do you think that parenting has changed you?
I just feel like I became more mature. I feel like I was already more mature for my age group because a lot of them, again, like, were still immature. I was like, I don't want to deal with any of this stuff. And every time I'd go to Mexico, I felt like everybody was like 10 years older than I am, like, in my head, you know? So it's like, when I would go to Mexico, I'd be doing things I would be doing when I was 21, I guess you could say. I aged more faster, I guess. When I had my kid, I was like, I'm ready. And my brothers were like, you're too young to have a kid, and blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, I'm 21. Like, I'm not 15. I'm not 14. I finished my high school. I'm in college.
What advice would you give to a new parent that's maybe dealing with a lot of fears and anxiety about being a parent?
I feel like tune in onto what you really value and what you want at the end of the day. And I'm very much like you, where what do you want them to be when they're older? Where can you help them the most? Because again, every kid is different, and sometimes they have special needs, sometimes they're more advanced. Like, my middle is more ahead. So I was thinking, yeah, I'm looking at all the resources I can get my oldest, but also my middle is very smart. I don't want to lose that opportunity for him to be more smarter. So I'm like, as much as I put more energy into my first, I also need to put some, like, give, well, maybe a program or something, because he's very into, like, science, Legos, building. He's very, very smart. So I'm like, if I could get him a program to do whatever he wants to do there while I'm helping my other with therapies, and my littlest wants to be a little singer, dancer, whatever, I'm like, she's got to explore whatever she wants to do. So I feel like whatever you're passionate about, like, the values that you hand down to your kids, I think will be really reflective of the way you live and the way that you show them, like, your interests. And so don't really take, I mean, yes, listen to the outside advice, but don't do everything they tell you because you're gonna go crazy. Because one person will tell you one thing, another person will tell you the opposite. So, like, really do whatever is best for you, what works for your family, whatever your husband and you decide, because at the end of the day, you two are the ones in the journey.
Yeah, I think that's great advice. I was kind of going to say something similar to, you know what's best for your child. So don't, yeah, I mean, you can listen to other people's advice and it's great to have other people's advice because we kind of talked about this before. Like, it's good to have a village of people that can help you raise your children. But at the end of the day, you know what's best for your child. So really trust your instinct. Do what you can to be prepared, but at the end of the day, know that nothing really prepares you for being a parent. You're never gonna be 100% ready. You just kind of have to dive in and take it on. And every day it's a new challenge. Every year it's a new challenge. What was hard with my daughter at 8 is very different what's hard with at her at 17. And so you have to kind of be prepared to pivot and also understand that each child is very different. And what one child needs may be very different from what another child needs. So you have to find very different ways to parent as well.
Yeah, I agree. At the end of the day, having your mindset on where you want it to be. Like, for me, even with my first, it didn't really sink in that it was mine. I was just like doing all the things that a parent needs to do and, like, feeding your kid and whatever, but it never really sunk in, like, I'm a mom, I'm a mom, I'm a mom.
Yeah.
Like, it's so weird to say that. And I see people around me that just had kids and they're like, when does it sink in? I'm like, it just doesn't.
Never,
Like, you're just,
never.
you're carrying this human being that just popped out of your body, but it doesn't hit you that you're a mom. It's just like, oh, it's part of the journey. Just go.
That's so funny. I feel like it never ends. Every day I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm a mom.
Right? I'm just like, that's so crazy.
I've kept a child alive for 17 years. Like, how the heck did I do that?
Yep.
Every day it's a journey, and you have to remind yourself. But also, I think something really important that I try to do with my kids is really be a safe place for them. I
Yeah.
think that's really important. It should just be a really safe place for them to know that they can always come to me with any question or concern, and that I love them unconditionally.
Yeah, I think you do a really good job at that. And And for me, sometimes it's hard because it's like, how do I get them to behave but also know that they have a safe place? And I mean, at the end of the day, they do. When and also they confide a lot in my parents. So like, whatever they don't tell me, they go tell my parents. And I'm like, thank God for my village, because at the end of the day, like, I'm a little bit more stricter. My husband's very lenient, but I think it's because he's not very involved, like, as much as he'd like to be, because he works a lot. So it's like, he's not here to really tell them like yes or no, or you know. So when he comes home, they're like, "Can I do this?" I'm like, "I already told you no. You don't get a different answer because your dad's here. Like, it is what it is."
Oh yeah, because they will try to do that. They will try to, if you say no, they'll try to go to the other parent.
Yeah, and I know I did that too. So I'm like, "Oh, jeez, it's a pain back, but it is what it
Yeah, it is what
is."
it is. Yeah, well, thank you. This was such a good conversation. I hope that it helps other people feel less anxious and less alone. We really are all just figuring it out together. Nobody has the answers. There is no manual. There is no perfect way to parent. But I think that as long as you do your best, then you're doing it right.
Yeah, I feel like that's right. And one day at a time, and that's the slogan I go by all the time, because today may be a little poop show, but tomorrow will be great and it'll be a new start. So new opportunities. And if you feel guilty for anything, like for me also, that's another thing. I'm sorry, before we wrap it up, but like mom guilt, like when I would go out like on to go get my nails done or something, I'm like, I should be with my kids. And it's like, no, outside of being a mom, you are a person and you need to fill your cup.
No, that's great advice. Yes. So thank you. And everyone, if you have not subscribed, please subscribe to the YouTube channel so you can watch these or go on Apple Music, Spotify, Amazon, wherever you listen to podcasts. At the Let's Do It Afraid podcast. You can subscribe there as well. Make sure you follow us on Instagram at Let's Do It Afraid podcast as well. And we hope everyone has a great week.
Yes, and if you have any feedback, feel free to send it to us or put it in the comments, and I hope to hear from you guys soon. Have a great week. Bye-bye.
Bye.